This is
Mythical.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Nicole, what's the difference between jam and jelly?
Oh, I know this one. I can't jelly my in her.
You kiss your mother with that mouth? Shala, come get your girl.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Eyre.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And yes, we did come up with today's topic exclusively to make that joke.
I love that joke.
It's a great joke. The first version of that joke,
Is the garbanzo bean and the chickpea one?
No, the garbanzo bean and the chickpea one is great. But the jam jelly one, the first version that I heard is like too grotesque to even say with bleeps in it.
It was worse than mine?
Yeah. It gets into like some really weird territory. No. It's like the Aristocrats joke. You know the Aristocrats joke? You ever see that great documentary?
No.
There's this old joke about a family walks into a talent agent, and the talent agent says, "Wow, let me see your act." And then the family just performs all the dirtiest things you ever heard. And then at the end, the talent agent says, "Wow, that's surely spectacular. What do you call yourselves?" And they say, "The Aristocrats." And so the fun of the joke is that everybody, I love explaining a joke is always the best thing. But the fun of the joke isn't the punchline of the Aristocrats. It's like, what lengths will people take their act, you know, and what sort
do
of improvisational storytelling.
Do they talk about jam and jelly in that joke?
No, they don't, but it's the same thing, where the jam jelly joke, you just get as disgusting as you want, and then the point is, there's an actual culinary debate here.
Oh, yeah, there is a culinary debate here.
Because there's a difference between jam and jelly.
Sure there is.
And there's a whole wide world, Nicole, of fruit preserves.
A whole wide world.
I don't know that song.
God, you really didn't have a childhood. I'm so
I assume
sorry.
It's from Disney.
Good assumption.
And probably based on a real historical period where there were a lot more problematic things like Pocahontas. She was 14.
It's from Aladdin, Princess Jasmine and...
Oh, yeah, speaking of which. Anyways, jam and jelly.
I love both of those things.
What's the difference to you?
So I have always associated jelly being just fruit juices mixed with pectin and sugar.
And jam?
Jam is the whole fruit that's mashed mixed with pectin and sugar.
And marmalade?
Or citrus fruits. Citrus fruits that's you take... You remove the peel and the pith, and then you do the fruit plus the peel, plus sugar and pectin.
And preserves?
Oh, preserves is jam before you mash it up, so it's like big old pieces.
And confiture?
I don't know that one because I never learned it. What's that one?
I think confiture is just the French word for jam.
Okay.
So why did you just say jam? So you are you're correct in a lot of those. Jelly is strained. Jam is the whole fruit.
Mashed.
Preserves typically like won't be cooked, but even that there's no legal distinction. There's only in America a legal distinction between jam and jelly, and a lot of them it's like the mayonnaise debate, right?
Where that one.
So the mayonnaise debate. We had that. Mayonnaise versus aioli. And we talked about why Cool Whip isn't considered mayonnaise because it has too high of a water content, effectively. Mayonnaise has to be like X percent oil by volume to legally be considered mayonnaise. Ditto with jams and jellies.
Right.
So jellies have to be 65% water-soluble solids, which is to say sugar. It can also be corn syrup, honey, et cetera. But basically, there needs to be a certain percentage. of sugar versus fruit versus pulp, juice, etc.
Sure.
Be jam and jelly. All the other terms, which I didn't realize this, marmalade, confiture, preserves, none of that is like legally protected.
Interesting. Okay.
Marmalade's
not legally protected.
Marmalade is not. However, Nicole, I was trying to find research on this.
Okay.
And I found a 1980 memo from the FDA compliance policy guide concerning marmalade. I know this is the exciting stuff that people came here for.
That's right.
But they, I'll read from it here. We have expressed the opinion that marmalade should contain at least 65% soluble solids by refractometer. It is customary in making orange marmalade from sweet oranges to use at least 30 pounds of peel and juice with each 70 pounds of sweetening ingredient. So anyways, this is effectively a policy guide. We believe the name marmalade should be used only for articles made from citrus peel and juice. Articles made from other fruits would be expected to comply in composition and labeling with the standards of identity for fruit preserves, jam, and jelly. So,
crazy.
No legal, I know it is. Well, okay, I find this fascinating because you talk about marmalade being made from citrus fruits. Mm-hmm. One, why would that need any different distinction? Because
what do you mean? Well, citrus fruits are like their own like category.
But so are berries. So are stone fruits, right? So are droops. Mm-hmm. Why would you need a droop? Like a what's a like a plum is a droop? It's one of those weird agricultural distinctions, like a pulse, like a bean versus a legume versus a pulse.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
And I'm pretty sure a plum is a droop for some reason. I don't exactly know why, but the point is, there's so many different distinctions in fruit. We only distinguish for marmalade based on citrus, which is fascinating because if you know the etymology of marmalade.
Tell me it.
What? Okay. You go to España.
Say.
You're eating a nice plate of, how do you say, it's queso. I was thinking formaggio. It's Italian. God dang it. You're eating a charcuterie board in Spain.
Sure.
Right? They wouldn't call it charcuterie. They'd call it whatever it is in Spanish. Tapas. But you're getting like cheese and meats. There's a paste made of quince. What's it called?
Membrillo.
Membrillo? Marmalade. So you go to Portugal, it's actually called marmelada.
Oh!
Right?
This and so is crazy.
Marmela is the like Latinate root for quince.
Oh my gosh.
So marmalade literally means like thing made from quince.
My mom makes quince jam.
So your mom makes quince. You know who else made quince jam?
The Spanish.
Ancient Romans.
Oh, okay.
So if you track modern fruit preservation, mm-hmm. I'm surely throughout history they've been preserving fruit via many ways, right?
Sure.
People have been drying things in the sun for forever. You even look in Korea and you'll see like preserved citrus rinds that they'll add to teas.
Yeah.
It's called chong.
Yeah, there's actually, there's like chong talk.
There's
where
what?
People like chong talk.
There's
like,
chong talk?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
on chong talk?
Yeah,
get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they take like a pound of like of grapes or like a pound of strawberries and they let it preserve in sugar, not salt, for like months on end. There's like a 1 month chong and then like a 2 month and then like a year long.
Oh hell
it's
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I'm on that side of TikTok.
I want to get on that side of TikTok.
Okay.
I'm just on like Natty or Not Talk, where they just look at any actor that's like fitter than the normal person. They're like, they're not natty. As people are just eating Taco Bell on the couch.
Josh.
But I also like agree with them. Like most, you know, see anybody in a Marvel movie. The point is, people have been preserving fruit for as long as fruit has been around.
Right.
Effectively, one of the earliest written recipes we see for any sort of fruit preserve is De Re Coquinaria.
Mm.
This is the book. We've cooked from it on Meals of History before.
We have?
Yeah, it was the book is actually called like Apicius, and Apicius was a dude who was just like a noted Epicurean, existed around the first, second century AD, and he just compiled a bunch of recipes, and there's a recipe for quince that was like boiled in honey and preserved.
That's so interesting.
And so like that's where the term marmalade comes from.
That's insane to me.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then there's a story about in the 1500s, there was a shipment of marmalada from Portugal that went to the King of England and it said marmaladu on it. It was just like misspelled like crazy.
Okay.
And then like people started making it with English bergamot oranges, stuff like
delicious.
That.
Delicious. Love bergamot.
And so that is one of the reasons we consider marmalade to just be citrus. And in the American canon, as you can see from this like FDA writ of appeal, right? That's what we mean by marmalade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
That's very interesting. Thank you. That's actually very, very interesting.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And then there's another thing. I actually found this on just the Wikipedia page of preserved fruit, but wow. They were talking about, because I really wanted to know the difference between all of these freaking terms that we have.
Sure. Why are there terms, you know?
One of the terms they used in that was cheese. And I was like, why cheese here? Make no sense.
Hmm.
Turns out in other cultures, they will make very dense fruit preserves.
Like a paste?
Not like deeper than a paste, almost a slice of a fully sliceable loaf. So you take the reason that quince was one of the OG jam making things.
Because it has high pectin.
Crazy high pectin.
Mm-hmm.
And not only crazy high pectin, quince is damn near inedible raw, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to cook it, and the pectin makes it solidify like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then other, especially cold weather climates where like you can't dry stuff and you like need to preserve food mm-hmm. even harder because it needs to last longer. They would make things that they called fruit cheeses.
That's so crazy.
Which you would just cook it down and cook it down and cook it down until it becomes super hard and sliceable like a loaf. So you find something called apple cheese in Lithuania, which to me is really fascinating.
No way. That's so cool. I guess cheese just means big old loaf of something.
Effectively, I mean, think of head cheese, right?
Sure.
And that's just like a loaf a loaf of like boiled pig head parts.
That's just put in a loaf and it's you slice it. That's really, really cool.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's your favorite, like, of these jams, jellies, marmalades, preserves? Like, what do you reach for?
You need different applications for different foods, right? So, I'm making a PB&J.
Uh-huh.
That J ain't jam. That J jelly.
Do you mean to tell me you have jelly in your house?
I don't make PB&Js at home. I only make them at work. And when I make them at work, I use Concord grape jelly.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure you use raspberry jam.
No, man. I actually hate raspberry jam with peanut butter.
Because the seeds get stuck in your teeth.
Too acidic. I want it to be sweet.
Oh, I see.
I want it to be incredibly sweet. But so for PB&Js, I love using an old school Concord grape jelly because that's what I grew up on. Also, Concord grapes, very American fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. But if I'm adding something to like a dessert, right? One of my favorite things is like a... I always think of Great British Bake Off, and you're making like a Victoria sponge sandwich cake.
Sure. I never make them though.
Oh God, they're like not hard, and they're
it's
so good.
Me. It's not for me.
God, why don't I make one tonight? I already made a panna cotta.
What have you? We're also shooting this on Valentine's Day.
I know.
Josh has cooked. You were cooking for 4 hours yesterday?
Just prepping for 4 hours.
To make Julia a beautiful home-cooked meal.
Yeah, I made a Thai curry paste from scratch, and I cooked it down, and I made a grapefruit panna cotta. Mm. So I got to make – we're just out of sugar, too. We're actually – you ever do that where you get all the ingredients?
You don't have this pantry staple?
I got fresh galangal yesterday. I, like, went to the Asian market to get galangal for my freaking curry paste.
Yep.
And then I was going to make, like, a little bit of honeycomb as, like, garnish for the dessert. Mm-hmm. And I was going to add sugar to something else. And we just didn't have sugar. And I was like, I cannot bring myself to go out to the store.
No, you just got to – you got to substitute where you can.
Yeah, and there was nothing else to substitute. I already added honey to another thing to sweeten it. And so that was brutal.
Do you know what I'm making for Valentine's Day?
Say it. I know what you're saying.
Reservations!
A girl's best friend is her credit card. Anyway.
Include the Rocket Money ad here. Just kidding. No, but like for me, I find myself, I never buy jams or jellies or preserves.
What are you making
them
at home?
They're kind of just given to me.
Oh, like, I feel this.
Like, I don't have like a hardcore preference, and I don't necessarily put a lot of jam on stuff. Maybe like a piece of toast with some butter and a jam, like in the morning if I'm in a rush, I'll do that. But I never find myself reaching for jams or jellies or preserves. But I will say Bon Maman. Have you ever seen Bon Maman?
Bon Maman. They have overtaken the game, dude.
Bon Maman, their four fruit jam is delicious.
Oh, what are the four fruits in it? I've had that. It's good, dude.
I don't
it's
know.
Good.
I'm going to tell you. I don't know. I'm assuming it's all berries.
I don't know. I feel like there's like a stone fruit in there. I feel like there's an apricot.
Okay, the four fruits in the Bon Maman four fruit preserves. Oh, it's preserves. It's not even jam. Strawberries, raspberries, cherries, and red currants.
Red
so
currants.
So unbelievably good. Also, I have this very vivid memory of my dad asking me, like when I was like 14, like, you want lamb chops? And I said, no, I don't want lamb chops because I had no taste for food back then. And then he like bought lamb chops, made them at home, and then he served them with a side of mint jelly. And I was always fascinated by the idea of mint jelly because it's literally food coloring, mint extract, sugar, and pectin, right?
Yeah, that's such an old person. With all due respect, Morris, you're young at heart. But that's such like an old
like
person thing.
He has like three stints in his heart. He's not young at heart.
No, because that was something my dad also ate. Yeah. And had you eaten that, the lamb chops and mint jelly?
I don't know, never. And
dude,
I don't get it.
It's pretty horrifying.
Is it? Is it done because the lamb is so gamey?
I suppose. That's like a very old school thing to eat that I don't understand. I will say I love using jams, fruit preserves, whatever, in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other day, it's a great way just to sweeten things. I feel you with always somehow ending up with jams, but never remember buying them.
Exactly. I have so many random jams, like, in my cupboards.
I'll be at, like, a farmer's market and just be like, oh, might as well drop $9 on this.
Yeah, this has
like
chia seeds in it.
Fig jam, and it's bad.
Yeah.
But I don't like using that fig jam on anything. But the other day,
I love fig jam.
I mixed it with a little bit of, like, vinegar and hot sauce and butter and made, like, a glaze for chicken.
That's smart.
And that was really nice.
That's smart.
So I like doing stuff like that. But speaking of things that I bought at the farmer's market that I hate and I'm trying to dump in random things to get rid of, I put this in pancakes the other day, date butter.
You don't like date butter.
Well, okay, what is date butter to you?
I'm guessing
because
blended
that's
up
another,
dates with water.
Because, like, think about apple butter, right?
Oh, my God. Apple butter rocks.
Well, yeah, why is apple butter not a jam preserve or whatever?
I just tasted apple butter in my mouth, and it was so good.
Pumpkin butter.
I love pumpkin butter!
Pumpkin's a fruit because it has seeds. That's a jam.
I love pumpkin butter.
I love pumpkin butter, too. I love apple butter. I love sugar. I'm like a hummingbird.
I hate applesauce. Love apple butter.
Yeah, I guess applesauce plus sugar plus heat plus time equal apple butter?
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
So it's fun. Applesauce is just raw apple butter. I could also just squeeze Go-Gurt's applesauce in my body all day long. I love it.
I hate applesauce.
I feel like a little baby, you know?
It makes me feel
like some weird diaper play stuff.
Oh, you
know? No, like SFW,
please
like just like normal.
That.
What? Maggie, why is everybody cringing? Why is apple butter not a preserve or a jam to you? Because there's apple
it's
jelly.
It's smooth. Something about the smoothness of it makes me feel like it's not a jam, jelly, preserve. It's a butter.
Well, probably if we look at the FDA definition. Also, FDA does not distinguish between preserves and jams, by the way.
Really?
So we can say that there might be more heat added to jam, whatever, but according to the FDA, you can just use preserve versus jam on your packaging willy-nilly.
Really? Because I've always thought preserves, like, they have, like blackberry preserves. In my head, when I see blackberry preserves, it's, like, pieces of blackberry in there.
So is a strawberry jam, though. You get, like, a Smucker's strawberry jam, and there's pieces of strawberry in there.
Really? I always thought it was, like, relatively smooth plus the seeds.
Now, you know how I know that? Because Smucker's, they got the squeezable ones. We have mm-hmm. them. We, for a long time, had them in our fridge at work.
Mm-hmm.
They have the squeezable jams and jellies. Mm-hmm. And for the grape jelly, it's great because it's purely smooth. It's just mm-hmm. the grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll get like a little strawberry chunk stuck in the squeeze tip. And then I got to take my mouth to the squeeze tip and I go, and then I just put it back in the fridge and don't tell anybody. So that's how I know strawberry jam has pieces. I'm kidding. I don't do that.
I do.
I do that with my hot sauce bottles at home. And sometimes you get pulp. Arizona Gunslinger, you get a lot of pulp stuck in the tip.
So you suck it out.
Yes.
Are you proud of yourself?
A little bit.
Okay.
How else would you get it out? I try shoving a chopstick in there. It don't work. It don't work.
I just shake it. I just hold the nozzle and I shake it.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Fruit spread is really interesting to me.
What is fruit spread?
I'm so glad you asked. So fruit spread became a term. All right. So the reason that you might want, if you are a governing body, to have... At first, when I saw the regulations that said at least 65% sugar, I was like, surely they mean at most 65% sugar, trying to prevent companies from just loading this stuff up with corn syrup, sugar, whatever, and not having any fruit in there. But no, they mean at least 65% sugar because of the preserving effects of sugar.
Oh.
Because that's the origin of why all jams, jellies, and all this stuff exists, right?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Is that sugar helps preserve foods. And then, but then we get into the canning era, which, as we all know.
Let's get into canning, Josh. Let's start canning.
Now, do you know the guy who basically invented canning and, like, helped the Napoleonic Wars? No, his name was not Ball. His name was Nicolas Appert.
Oh, okay.
I think he was Belgian, technically, but under, like, the Napoleonic Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And Napoleon, during the Napoleonic Wars, was like, hey, I'm giving a 12,000-franc reward to anybody who comes up with the best idea that we can execute to feed our troops. And this guy was just like, I figured out a way to seal off all bacteria inside food and allow it to last forever. And then they're like, all right, cool, but, like, we don't really dig what you did during the revolution, so we're going to take your idea and, like, piss off.
Mm.
And then his factory got destroyed by the Prussians. It was back then, you were just about to get killed by the Prussians at any given moment.
That sucks.
And then we just successfully wiped Prussia off the face of the map.
Where was Prussia?
Prussia was, like, I believe northeast Germany.
Oh.
It was, like, its own kingdom for a long time, an empire. And after, I think, like, World War One, they're still around in a little bit of world. I don't know. But we were just like, no more Prussia, dude. Y'all don't get to exist anymore.
That
sucks. The point is, canning became a big thing, meaning you could feasibly add less sugar to stuff because it was going to last however long. And we have refrigeration now, too. So companies were like, we're going to put less sugar in our jams and try and market that. And the FDA was like, nah, you can no longer call this jam.
So we got fruit spread.
That's a fruit spread, homie. That's all you can prove. There's fruit there, and you can spread it on stuff.
That's awesome. I find myself leaning towards more of the jams and the preserves. Jelly just doesn't sit right with me. It's too clear.
Does it feel artificial to you?
Yes. It feels artificial, and it feels too clear, and I feel like I need to know that I'm eating something from the fruit, like some sort of chew, some sort of something, because jelly, it just screams too sweet to me.
It feels infantile, right? Like, it feels like something you would have eaten.
I don't think infantile is the right word, because my mother was never a jelly person. She was also a jam and preserve person.
So even when you were a little kid, you weren't, like, sucking down grape jelly?
Never, never.
What jellies do people even eat other than grape? And, like, mint.
Strawberry.
But, like, strawberry jelly with no fruit in it?
I mean, I don't know that I've ever had that. I see it at the store.
Like, if you Google strawberry jelly.
I mean, there's also.
I feel like Joe Rogan just being like, Google COVID lab.
But not us.
Strawberry jelly.
Yeah, I feel strawberry jelly and grape jelly are very popular.
Why do I feel like I have no memory of strawberry jelly?
Really?
I feel like I only eat strawberry jam.
It's so see-through, it's crazy to me.
That's wild. Apple jelly is a thing that I've eaten a fair amount of, which is very fun.
Never had apple jelly before.
You will find it in those little... The best way to consume jelly, Nicole, is when it is has syrup tracks covering it because it is at an IHOP next to the syrup holster, and they have the little pads of jelly, like knots.
The little pads of jelly?
We were blessed, Nicole, to grow up next to a historic dairy farm. That's right, the inventor of the boysenberry. No, nuts.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Altadena with the little milk cups.
No, not Knotts.
I know what Knotts is.
It's Knotts Berry Farm. They got roller coasters now.
And boysenberry.
And boysenberries. They invented it.
They invented the boysenberry?
Yeah,
was the guy that invented his last name Boysen?
I think it actually was. Like Alfred Boysen? Maybe you Google that.
Harold Google.
Boysen? But it's a various crossbreeding of raspberries and blackberries. That's how so many of the berries. Rudolph Boysen. What'd I say? Alfred Boysen? Same thing. Yeah, literally Orange County, California, baby.
But isn't... Don't you say berries in French like... Bois or something like that?
Like framboise is strawberry.
Yeah, isn't bois or
I think
bois?
Bois?
Bois? His last name sounds just like it was
Boisin,
destiny.
Boisin, Berry.
You know what else I like? Apricot jelly and jam. I like apricots. Underrated. Very yellow.
I agree with that. I'm a big stone fruit and droop fan.
I love stone fruit.
Do you ever make your own jellies, jams, whatever at home? Have you
what
ever like, messed around with it?
Am I a homesteader? No.
Like during COVID, especially during the lockdown.
No way.
I was eating more peanut butter based sandwiches. Peanut butter et al. Based sandwiches than
et
ever before.
Al?
Et al. Meaning and others.
Okay.
In Latin. Do people want to know that? If you see a scientific study, it'll be like...
I know what et al. Liskowitz, means, but like
Stein,
I didn't understand, but I didn't know what the et al. Stood for, and I know that you knew what it said.
Yeah, like et meaning and, al. Anywho, the point is, I was not always happy with the type of fruit preserves, and I was like, I want to make my own. My favorite thing is a peanut butter, banana, and honey sandwich.
Yes, so you tried to make banana.
I tried to make banana jam.
You did, not knowing that maybe banana butter was a better way to go about it.
Well, there's the etymological difference, right? Banana butter, how would you make, if you wanted a spreadable, sweet, banana-based treat to go on your peanut butter sandwich, what would you do?
I would mash up a banana, I would add some brown sugar, I would add some salt, and I would just let it go for hours.
You'd cook it.
Cook it.
Have you ever just, like, cooked a dry banana, though?
No.
It, like, doesn't, there's, if you blend a banana, it turns kind of liquidy.
Who would care? You would just suck out all the moisture over time.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, when you suck out the moisture, it just, like, turns clumpy. I thought what I should do is add, like, almond milk. So I was like, almonds, bananas, peanut, that's a good combo.
No.
And, like, sugar, and try to, like, cook it down. Add some vanilla extract.
I would add vanilla.
The banana turns really brown and almost gets this weird kind of slick quality. It's not great.
But let me tell you, preserved bananas, like banana baby food, which you're very familiar with,
Yeah. It's
like kind of acidic because they have to acidulate it so it doesn't turn brown.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think we have to worry about that if we're making homemade banana butter.
I'm down to make some homemade banana butter, man.
Dude, no.
Let's do it. Do you want to hear more about the etymology of all these words? Because I found interesting stuff out. And no, I'd like, can I say it anyways, even if you don't want to hear it?
Yes, of course. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. So jelly, right? You go to England and you say like, please, sir, give me a bowl of jelly.
And I know what that
jelly
means.
Jelly and cream, that mister.
That means gelatinized.
I'm just a little popper.
That means jello. That means jello.
I'm just a little apple dodger.
I just got chili in my eye.
You got chili? Why do you have chili on your hands?
I just got chili in my eyeball.
Yeah, so they call jello jelly because jello is just an American, like, proper noun for a product.
I'm just going to take my glasses off.
And so they would probably not differentiate between, like, jam, you know?
I'm listening
and,
to you.
And strained jelly. I think strained jelly is. But anywho, so that comes from the French, like, gelée.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And
my mom says gelée.
Oh, really?
Yeah, also my mom used to make a lot of jam at home.
Really? Out of what?
Quince.
She would make quince jam.
She would make so much quince jam. My mom, like, was, I don't know. It was weird. When you're a housewife and you don't have a job and, like, your kids are, like, basically grown except you have one that just came out of nowhere, like, you have nothing else but to do like, mom things.
I think that's how I would be happiest in life, just sitting at home making jam, you know? I think it'd be pretty cool. Doing CrossFit,
making jam. Do you want to be a stay-at-home dad?
A little bit. If that was in the cards, yeah, I'd absolutely do that.
You and have Julia work?
So,
like,
gel
40 hours?
Means, like, to frost.
I can't really see your facial expressions.
Like, to congeal. So, like, water turning into ice is effectively jellifying,
uh-huh.
Right? In the same way that fruit juice turning into something solid, so just going from liquid to solid, which is fascinating. And then marmalade, we talked about that.
We talked about that.
But actually, in Greek, they probably called that preserved quince paste melimelon. Meli meaning, like, miel.
Oh, I love that name.
Right?
I would love to name my future daughter Miel.
But you know what, like, Miel means in...
Honey.
Honey.
I know Spanish. I took 4 years of Spanish.
I know you did. I don't know Spanish.
I was
like, agua Miel. So it's Meli Melon. And then melon means apple in Greek. And so that was what they called that. Yeah. So you find out a lot of really funny stuff. Jam, I was like, I have no idea where this word comes from. You can figure out jelly because you know the French gelée and whatever.
Sure.
Jam, turns out it comes from the same old English word, like, champ. Which means champ is like to chew, to press.
Chomp.
Or chomp.
Chomp.
So, the word chomping at the bit.
Uh-huh.
It's actually champing at the bit.
Like a horse?
Correct, yeah. So it's kind of like gnashing with its teeth, and that's the same verb. So jam and chomp have the same root for just like kind of pressing, mashing.
Josh, I have never told you this before. You're like really smart.
I have many special interests. I like it. Be patient with me.
So now that we know the difference between jam and jelly, what was the point of this podcast? Was it just to get the joke, like, in the title?
Well, Nicole, it's because I can't jelly my d**k in her.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Nicole, I've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what are the wacky ideas rattling out there in the air for some for a segment we call...
Opinions are like casseroles. I allowed myself to be the alto so you could be the soprano. Are you happy about that?
I don't. I like eating gabagool out the fridge, soprano.
Not everything is about that, soprano.
Most things are about gabagool. I'll tell you that much. I have never said anything with less confidence in my life than when I went to an Italian deli on the East Coast and saw Capicola and went, gabagool. And they went, what? And I said, oh, the Capicola sandwich, please.
You're so embarrassing. I am. I'm embarrassed for you.
Gabagool.
Hi, Josh. This is Paul from Indiana.
He's talking to you.
Hey, man.
So, I have an opinion that might sound a little controversial, but I like roadkill meat just as good as regular meat you buy from the store.
Yeah, might as well, then. It's all same.
Free. It's right there. The fresher, the better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a lot of my family still makes a raccoon soup that we just get off the road. That's why I usually carry a shovel in my truck when I drive down the road. Yeah, it's good. Watch out for worms.
I see why he was addressing me now. So here's the thing. Right back. How much cigarettes you smoke? Because here's the thing. Whenever anyone's like, lamb tastes gamey, goat tastes gamey, I'm like, it's all just chew and sauce to me, man. Now, I'm not going to BS you. My palate's so blown out from smoking a pack a day, but I don't anymore, and it's bad, and you shouldn't do it.
You used to smoke a pack a day?
That was when I knew I had to stop, is when I got to like a full pack every day.
And how old were you, 22, 23?
I was like probably 25. And I was like, I was a writer, and I was hanging out with chefs all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It
started
vibe.
As a fun. But the point is, you know, you're blowing out your palate, and so at some point that can be a good thing because then you're just eating roadkill, and you're totally fine with it because you can't taste the difference, much like me. Also, I reckon you're not just cooking that up like a steak with salt and pepper and eating it. No, you're smothering it. You're putting it in
for
a
sure.
stew. There was a tiki-taki that went a little viral. Of a girl talking about having a lemon tree in her backyard, and like her friend going like, "Why have you been buying lemons at the store?" And
you
she's
have
like,
a lemon
"Well, they're different. They do something to the lemons at the store that they don't hear." And that's how a lot of people, especially, feel about animals, right?
Sure.
Like, well, they're doing something to them at the factories, and it's like, well, yes, they are, and they're supposed to be FDA regulations, but there's also sometimes worse things. I do know though, raccoons are prone to parasites, especially during certain seasons. Mm. But if you are somebody whose family has been eating this stuff for a long time, you probably know that.
Yeah, you have like a certain knowledge about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, this wasn't addressed to me.
Nicole, you could answer.
I don't know. I don't have an opinion one way or another.
Have you ever eaten roadkill?
Never. I hope that you're doing it safely, and that's all I can say. I just hope you're doing it safely.
Closest equivalent I've had, I mean, we've eaten possum and stuff, but like, it's like a serious meal. I've had like rabbit, guinea pig.
Like killed on the road?
Not killed on the road, though.
I've had those things too.
Yeah. And those are great.
They're not roadkill.
No, but it's like that type of animal, right? It's an animal that feasibly could be killed on the road, whereas like a cow, most likely not.
Okay. Next question.
Good afternoon. A hot dog is a sandwich. I'm a big fan, long-time listener. My opinion
is that fruit
is better frozen. I know that it's questionable. I've gotten into many arguments with it. And, oh, by the way, my name is John.
Hi,
and,
John.
Dude.
You know, I think it's better frozen, one, just for the price and its longevity. But also, I just really like its, you know, the crunchy, cool texture while eating it. And I also think it pairs well with a bunch of other condiments, including honey and whipped cream. So that is my hot take.
Okay.
Great hot take.
I'm into this.
So mad they didn't say where they're from.
So I think that this gives a handheld sorbet vibe. And I'm happy for them that they get to experience fruit in such a way.
Where do you think? Like Dana Point?
Yeah.
Carlsbad?
Laguna?
You think Laguna?
Yeah, it's giving Laguna.
I think Laguna would be a little bit more posh.
But no, that's not true.
Dana.
That's not true. Dana is very posh.
Maybe Huntington, man. Maybe like a Huntington Seal Beach, like North County, like North County stuff.
I was about to say Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like frozen fruit. I prefer regular fruit. Oh, Maggie just looked up your zip code. We have that information.
Wait, what's the zip code? Where's he from?
No, I looked up the area code.
Oh, that's what
I
meant. Not zip code. Area code, not zip code. That'd be freaky.
Where is it?
Oh.
Southwestern Connecticut. Oh, you know what it is?
What?
You know what I think it is? I think it's just a frat accent.
Oh, maybe.
I think it's a frat accent.
A frat accent.
I just listened to this great follow on Instagram called Etymology Nerd. He was like a Harvard.
Oh, I love Etymology Nerd.
Oh, my God. He's good.
I love Etymology Nerd.
Did a video about why the frat accent sounds the same no matter where you go.
He makes me want to learn languages.
I know, man. You heard his bird language?
No, I haven't gotten that. I haven't been fed that on the thing. But
could have been a slur in his bird language.
I'm obsessed. Let me tell you, I just love linguistics and etymology, so I'm all about that stuff.
Yeah, same. Does a lot of great videos. Anyways.
I like this.
I agree with that. I keep frozen fruit wherever I am.
You do.
I love blending it into smoothies. And then if you are making any hot application of fruit, like any dessert, you're making a cobbler, might as well use frozen fruit. A lot of the times it is picked at peak season and then frozen.
Of course.
There are so many advantages. We invented the freezer for food preservation. Got to use it.
Yeah.
Got to use it. It's great.
Agreed.
What up, though? My name's Aurelio. 6 in the morning on my way to work. I feel like
Amarillo,
the world
Texas.
Needs to stop sleeping on the Midwestern Cool Whip-based salad.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking Jell-O salad, Ambrosia salad, Snickers salad,
Watergate,
etc. I feel like if the world was open to and knew about these salads, we'd be an all-around, much more fulfilling place. Mm. Love the podcast, guys.
Okay, love your voice as well.
Preach.
Obsessed. I like the little snarl you had when you were talking about salads.
He's a lead singer in a post-hardcore band.
I love his voice. I have never had a Cool Whip-based salad.
Get the fudge out of here.
But I feel like I would have a lot of fun with Ambrosia salad and Watergate salad.
Wait,
like
you've never had Ambrosia?
Like the strawberry pretzel salad that Dolly Parton makes or something. I've always wanted to try that.
You've never had Ambrosia. You've never had just like the mix of like Jell-O, Cool Whip,
the
fruits and nuts.
The closest thing I could have to that is like in like Mexican markets where they take like gelatin and they do stained glass.
No, that stuff's great, but that is
okay,
not
so this is
like
different.
This is, yeah, yeah.
Never had
look up
it.
Ambrosia, like marshmallows, coconut.
Fruit cocktail. I've never had the privilege of like someone's mom making it like after church, you know? I really want to try it though.
Oh man, I remember that from my own upbringing. You know who has taken up the mantle, though? Filipino people.
Oh, really?
I have met so many Filipino people. I remember
it's
going
probably related
to
church food, right?
It could be related to church food. There's a lot of, like, very American sort of, like, capitalistic food industrial influence in the Philippines, right? Mm-hmm. Spam, sure, corned spam, beef, yeah. All this stuff, ketchup. The reason they had to make it out of bananas because there was a tomato shortage. But I think that's where the Jell-O thing comes in. But I've met so many Filipino Americans who are like, dude, I thought this was just a Filipino thing. And I was like, nah, us white trash Pennsylvanians, we also eat that stuff. And it is delicious. I agree. Lean into it.
So it's dessert.
No, it's not. It's almost
served
like
served on the side like cranberry sauce.
Correct. It is okay. Cranberry sauce.
Cool.
I mean, it's probably eaten for dessert, but if you're eating this stuff, it should be at a potluck and you're going to get a little bit of gravy on it.
Cool. I can't wait to try it one day. I hope it falls upon me like I hope I get the opportunity to like experience it by surprise.
Serendipity.
Yeah, I hope
John
I get
Cusack.
I hope I get a serendipitous experience with it.
I'm going to start bringing ambrosia to potlucks. You want a freaking bet? Next potluck, I am going to make from scratch. I'm going to make the Jell-O from scratch.
If I have like a Shabbat potluck, will you bring it?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to make it artisanal.
Okay, what about kosher?
Like a passion for, gelatin, huh?
Ooh, curveball.
Pectin? Can I go pectin?
You can do
Speaking of
you want.
The jam jelly, I'm going to pectin my bleep in her bleep.
Next opinion.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. This is John from Tulare, California, Visalia's next door neighbor.
Tulare.
Home of the World Ag Expo. I just wanted to point out that both of you have in the middle of your last name a vowel followed by a consonant followed by the same vowel. That's weird. And the best way to eat falafel is in a sandwich on a French roll with lettuce, onions, pickles, peppers, and mustard. Best way for a falafel.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Well, you too. Well, let me just say, let's tackle the falafel first.
Are you sure? I want to tackle the other thing.
Okay, tackle the other. Is he talking about Hendizade or Enayati?
Enayati. So A-Y-A, I have E-R-E.
Josh, I truly believe that it was cosmic for us to meet and be each other's co-hosts. I truly believe that. You don't believe that? You think it was just random? I think it was.
Does he know that I talk about Visalia way more than I should be talking about Visalia?
What's Visalia? Visalia
is a town, I believe it's like just south of Fresno, big, big ag town. But he's from Tulare, which is right next to Visalia.
No, but listen, like I think that there's things that happen like in the stars, like in the cosmos that are like, hey, you get to hang out with this person for a few years in your life.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, like in the sense that anybody else could also be sitting there and saying the same thing to me.
But it's
But it's
me.
You. And I love that for us. You know?
Like, there's a reason why we have Maggie in the studio.
Yeah, it's Maggie. What'd you study in?
No.
It's like Chapman for
film production.
Yeah, and like,
computer science.
You know, graduated.
She has a master's in computer science.
No, I know that, but like graduated during like the boom of like digital
Maggie
media.
Maggie is so talented. Maggie is like an interdisciplinary, what is that? Like, you know what I'm talking about. She's like really talented.
She like Marina Abramovic, an interdisciplinary artist.
Yeah. She plays musical instruments.
What about falafel, guys?
Oh, sorry. Well, Maggie, back to you. Let me talk good about you.
First, no, but I'm saying, like, you know, Maggie graduated from film school in the middle of the digital media boom. Like, there's factors that got her to
hear.
Maggie,
why,
I really enjoy your company. I'm really grateful for
you being
here.
Why do you think she went that way?
I don't think it's like
why do you
cosmic
think she decided,
justice.
Really, you don't think the cosmos were like, you will go into film production?
No, not at all.
You don't
Maggie,
think
Maggie,
cosmos?
I think you or I could be equally happy with other people. And I think that's beautiful. But the fact that we are still happy together.
I disagree.
I also really enjoy that. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
I disagree. This is great. This is not a nightmare for me. I love this whole conversation.
Josh, but no, you have to think about it. Like me and you grew up in such different like worlds. Like, think about it. Like,
yeah.
We grew up so different and so many things just were random. And now look at us. We're like co-hosts and friends for like 5 years now.
But you don't see another world in which you're, say, working at like in corporate at See's Candy and you're saying that to a guy named Harold. Like, Harold,
no,
you and I grew up in such different environments. Because you probably did, right?
No.
Not a lot of people grew up in the same environment.
No.
You could have been working at Kraft if you were a food scientist at Kraft.
What's that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah.
In this, like, what is this called? In this dimension,
mm-hmm.
we met and this is what we're doing. In another dimension, maybe we were, I don't know.
Rocks, stalking rocks.
Yeah.
We were, like, riding raccoons around
maybe
or whatever
we
they
were,
did.
Maybe
yeah.
we were talking, like, next to each
Hot
other.
Hot dog hands.
And, like, You're not understanding what I'm saying, and it bothers me. Like, there's a reason why, and maybe our last names having like those vowels and consonants next to each other is another reason why we're hanging out.
I don't know. This is like something Kanye would say right before he says something terrible about a certain group of people. You know what I mean? Or like how Terrence Howard thinks that he can prove that one times one is two and not one.
Terrence Howard thinks that?
Yeah, somebody just Google Terrence Howard math.
I love that movie, Hustle and Flow. Okay, falafel. Actually, recently, let me tell you what's my favorite way to eat falafel. I saw this guy make a falafel burger. I think his name is Danny Nisam, something like that. I don't know. His name is Danny, and he made this falafel smash burger, and it looks so...
Like Daniel Meshop?
I don't know.
I feel like I know that name.
Oh my God. It looks so good. And I literally sent it to my husband. I'm like, we have to make this immediately. And so I want to eat my falafel with a burger patty and cheese and lightly fermented red cabbage and homemade pita with sesame seeds.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the veggie burger boom with Impossible and Beyond and all that is that the perfect veggie burger was created like thousands of years ago in probably Egypt is where I think it came from. And it's called falafel. Mm-hmm. Nothing has improved on that ever since. That said, eaten in like a hoagie roll like that, I would say the opposite. I see where you're coming from. It's like a vegetarian meatball sub, but I think meatball subs are among some of the worst constructed sub sandwiches. You're putting a round ball. It's just literally you're biting into it and the meatballs are squirting out. I know it's falafel has more texture, less sauce, etc. But I would rather eat the falafel in like a laffa wrap, just like a burrito. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say that the better application of a meatball is also to be put in a laffa wrap like a burrito.
I like laffas.
I love laffa. I go laffa over pita any day.
Oh, really? Yeah. I go pita over laffa.
And laffa over lavash. Is it the same thing?
No.
You sure?
Laffa is fluffier.
Sangak.
Sangak's the best.
Do you love me some sangak?
I just embarrassed myself on this podcast. Next opinion, please.
Hi, guys. My controversial take, my hot take, is that cottage cheese and sunflower seeds is so good. Mm-hmm. My mom used to dip cauliflower in it as well, but yeah, cottage cheese and sunflower seeds. Thanks.
This sounds like a song.
If I wanted to illustrate something really unnerving about somebody in like a horror film, but a horror film where the vibe and the feeling is horror, but nothing horrible has happened yet. Mm. I would show them dipping cauliflower into cottage cheese with sunflower seeds.
Do you think the sunflower seeds are shelled? They must be.
Yeah, they must be shelled.
Yeah.
But why? There's no flavor in any of those.
You could get roasted sunflower seeds. And
yeah, but the flavor is like...
I like sunflower seeds a lot, actually.
This is maybe the strongest I've come out against an opinion. Most of the time, people are like... I put beef jerky in my coffee, and I'm like, well, if you actually go back to ancient Mesopotamia, you can find... I'm pretty bummed out by this. It's like white...
I hate that
the
word,
colors.
Bummed out.
Bummed out. It's like just, it's a white cruciferous vegetable
white.
Being dipped
it's
into like
white
a white chunky with just like gray crunchies
on it. This just gives
it.
Me diet culture vibes.
Right?
And that's all I gotta say about
bit.
That.
A little bit. Rudge, workshop the recipe.
Salt, pepper, olive oil. Put some stank on it. As
a little hot,
Put some stank
pivot
on it.
Pivot to ricotta. Maybe some like crushed pepitas, a little tahina. Yeah, I don't know.
Pepitas are sunflower seeds.
No, pepitas are pumpkin seeds.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Eating seeds is a pastime activity. That's.
I hate. I just shove seeds in my mouth and I just chew through them and
like
I swallow
them. Like
bird seed. No,
like bird seeds. Like you go to the because one of my favorite grocery stores is Petco. They got really good deals on their little tins of meat.
No, Josh,
it's sandwiches and like spread.
No, silly. Like sunflower seeds. Like I'm not very good at cracking individual ones. Uh-huh. So either David does it for me because he loves me.
It's such an independent relationship. I love that for you guys.
It is independent. What do you mean? You do things for each other.
Yeah,
it's called love. No, like he cracks it for me and gives it to me. Or I just shove him in my mouth and then he says, don't do that. I'm like, I can't do it.
Like in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where our alternate reality is that we're birds and your husband comes over, your little mating partner,
yeah.
And he like pecks open a seed for you and pushes it towards you.
That's David.
And
that's
goes, tweet,
David.
Tweet.
And I accept the seed.
Tweet.
I will accept your seed, David.
Yeah. On that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We got new audio-only episodes every Wednesday and a video version here on the YouTube on Sunday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions or Like Casseroles, hit us up at 833-DOGPOD1. The area code is 833 and the number is DOGPOD1.
I thought it was DodgePod.
No. It's
for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on other videos where we're launching them. Episodes weekly every week. Till next time, seeing you here or elsewhere. Goodbye.